What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 20th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabella III.
Good morning, everybody.
Whoa, look at that.
The Borderlands show day.
No, don't shove it down their throats, all right?
Oh, yeah,
don't,
we will.
No, we won't. It is, yeah, if you didn't know, the Borderlands show is airing right now live on twitch.tv/Borderlands.
We're competing with ourselves
over there, because why, ladies and gentlemen, we told you when we did the Borderlands show, that's something we're making for them. We're still kind of funny making the content you love. Isn't that right, Barrett?
Yeah!
That's what I like to see.
So you're saying they should open up two windows at once.
Say, watch the YouTube version later. You know what I mean? There's all these people watching on Twitch. That's great. You know what happens to those numbers? They get farted away. Nobody cares.
Why?
As somebody does the Kind of Funny Game Showcase, trust me, when somebody shows up on your YouTube page, they're like, why is this showcase only got 90,000 views? I thought it was a big deal. I was like, it was a big deal on Twitch. You know what I mean? But
that's
then you know what happens? Shuhei goes, not big enough. Last of Us news for you.
You're going to get unverified on YouTube if you're not
careful. Already did. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Kind of funny. You got unverified. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, touchy stuff. A lot of others.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know. It's not just us. No.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not touchy at all.
Yeah.
I saw that going around yesterday on Twitter, like other creators we know being like, hey, I'm making a video.
Yeah.
I got unverified of it. And I'm like, I don't know what fucking verified does.
Yeah.
I don't know what it matters. And then Joey put in a Slack of like, hey, we're one of the people who got unverified if you want to appeal. I'm like, games was never verified. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, people know
it
it's
feels
us.
Feels nice.
You show there, am I shirtless eating Oreos? Yep, that's us.
That's the real Greg.
That's kind of funny. You know how it is? I like this. This is your Destiny community podcast shirt?
Oh, yeah. The DCP crew made this at PAX. It's very subtle. It's like an emote you can use on the DCP Twitch. It's a heart. It's hard to see the black side, but
exactly.
I think it's weird that your first inclination when to like show off the shirt, you kind of like grabbed your man boobs.
No, I lead.
A bit.
I was leading. Okay. I was trying to point to it.
All right.
The monitor that we look at is backwards to us, right? And you go through the. You're like, you know, your hands are moving.
Sure.
Around.
Yeah. You're on that side in real life, but on that side, you're over there. I see what you're saying.
Stop getting handsy, like Fran.
We are switched.
Friends.
On the real set, I'm sitting there. And Greg is over here. It's very confusing.
It's been a long fucking week, everybody. But you've made it. It's Friday. Let's finish strong and talk about how Batman is coming to Fortnite. The Last of Us Part 2 is officially coming to State of Play. And guess what? The French are fighting Steam. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you, as we've already said, Fran and I are very proud of the Borderlands show, episode 1, finally out right now. You can catch it later, youtube.com/borderlandsgame. I'd urge you to go check it out. I know when we announced this, a lot of people were like, oh, it's something Kind of Funny's never done before, made content for another channel or for a different company, and then also, what would that look like? What it looks like is Fran and I doing a podcast about a game, and then like saying things and watching people look over at the PR people, and they'd be like, we can't stop them. We can't stop them. But it's a fun thing where we just talk about Borderlands stuff. You're up for some Borderlands and news on Bloody Harvest. Go on and check it out. There's also a shift key embedded in the episode.
Yeah, talking to the creative director, Paul Sage. It's a great episode.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've tweeted out about it, of course, but I'll give a shout out here as well. Huge fucking shout out to Kind of Funny best friend. You know him well, Roger Pokorny.
Yeah! That's my boy!
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, by watching Games Daily, of course, we've had a week of problems with the computer exploding, the soundboard exploding, IGN lending us the soundboard, all this different stuff. We, at like the 11th hour, Hail Married Roger everything for the Borderlands show. And he's done two sleepless nights to make it happen, including having to deal with the ESRB and a whole bunch of different things you wouldn't expect.
All those
probably,
official things that you...
That we don't have to ever worry about, because we can come out here, you know what I mean? Just, we can do whatever we want. But when the ESRB is involved, they're like, don't do this. Like,
sounds like he worked his butt off.
He did. So thank you, Roger. I hope you are asleep now.
I fucking love you. Get some sleep, buddy.
I know, right? I texted him last time, like, go to whatever restaurant you want to with your girlfriend and send us the bill. Like, it's fine.
Send it to 2K. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/RetroGames, Blackjack, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny Interweb Site Championship PAX West 2019 edition, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
It's fucking Link's Awakening Day of Baker's Dozen!
You can save that for when we get to the games that are coming out, all right?
No.
You save it for then.
Fucking no.
Bear. I like it, and I like where your head's at.
Yeah, Greg!
It's also entitled Goose Game Day. Barrett, for your notes, we're switching two with one, and we're going to start with Fortnite officially crossing over with Batman.
Yeah,
this morning, Fortnite did tweet out officially, hashtag Fortnite x Batman reveal. September 21st, 8 a.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Fortnite. It has a little... The Fortnite logo, or you know what I mean, like blue, yeah, and then
it's
the
got
Batman,
the Batman
outline.
Cow, then Fortnite X, and then another Batman logo.
We've talked in rumor and speculation about this happening. It's been, you know, behind the nightfall or whatever. Now that we know it's officially happened, I thought I would click over to Polygon.com where Owen S. Good said this. Batman coming to Fortnite, data miners say. This is from 2 days ago, but it gives us a window, I think, into what's going to happen. Leaked images found in the latest Fortnite updates suggest Batman, his gear, and his pails are on his way to the Battle Royale. A set of 6 images were uploaded to the Fortnite Battle Royale subreddit this morning. Images with others saying more stuff was on the way, too. These include a cape, a grapple gun, a batarang, new gliders, and a new spooky Gotham map. Other Fortnite watchers say the update has 3 encrypted skins, 2 male and 1 female, leading to speculation that the Dark Knight will be joined by Batgirl and the Joker. We've reached out to Epic, blah, 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 blah. This is, of course, the Saturday 21st is Batman Day worldwide, so you'll probably see some information then. And then today, of course, on the 20th, officially revealing that, yes, you will. Will it be all of this? This Batman grapple gun, the explosive batarang? Who knows what you'll see exactly, but probably that's what you're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, this is normally what they do. You'll get, you know, you get to be Batman. You'll get the skin. You'll get the back bling. You'll get the whatever the axe is going to be. I don't know. Does it show it in there?
No, nothing in there right now for what the axe
is. It might be the batarang. It's a big, that'd be weird, a big batarang. But it could be, right? That's like the grapple, the pickaxe. But then, yeah, you get a themed area on the map normally as well, like we saw this with Borderlands.
Borderlands, the Mayhem, right?
Pandora showing up on the map. So that actually could be the coolest part, right? Is being able to drop into like a little mini Gotham.
Yeah, exactly. A different Gotham City will be pretty cool, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how they'll, because the game actually has like night and day cycles.
Night and day.
So you gotta wonder if it'll always be dark.
I mean, no, Batman has appeared during the day in a great movie called The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh my God, I'm just saying it's, if you really want to see some really crappy fight choreography, that's where it is. Let's take him out of the shadows and let's put him in a stark white room and have him fight. You're like, he's like,
fucking red.
Doesn't even, no, it's not red.
I remember that scene.
Of course, you blacked out that movie because that movie's bad.
I like
bad.
All of the Dark Knight movies.
Actually. Yeah, friend.
I like them all. No one's fantastic. I like them all.
I don't get me wrong. I liked it too. That's why it was so hard to believe that he fucked the third one so bad. You know what I mean?
I remember.
Why don't you go by your real name, Robin?
So good, man.
Everybody's like, maybe they'll keep going, but they're not going to fucking go anywhere.
I did
with
only
this.
Watch it once, but I liked it overall. I'm a little forgiving on stuff like that, you know? Like, one of my favorite.
What about
movies?
Batman v Superman?
Huh?
What about Batman v Superman?
You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
Never watched it because everybody.
Yeah, Fran.
Dude,
I'll tell you why. Everybody said it was terrible.
You, me, the ultimate cut. You got 3 hours. Let's go.
I went, and then go. We're gonna binge Lord of the Rings. I'm gonna make you watch.
Because he was Jimmy Olsen. You know, they didn't know. They didn't play it up enough. Jimmy Olsen in the very beginning. You'll see. You'll see.
They have like a whole hour on just Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The first hour of the movie.
Really getting you into the scene.
Anyway,
I digress. Batman in Fortnite.
It's a big deal, too, because, I mean, I may be wrong in this. I've been a little more out of the loop on Fortnite recently, but they have a reveal first, and then, you know, I guess, I don't know when it would come, like,
oh, no, this shit's dropping tomorrow.
You think, well, they got the video premiere goes up at 8 a.m., so when does the content come out?
8:05. 8:30.
It'll be something like that.
It's Batman Day. You have to flip the switch.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But see, the reason I bring this up is normally it goes out very early in the morning.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay. So, I mean, it is. I mean, it is close though. 5 a.m. our time, Pacific time, is when it goes out. So, anyway, I guess keep your ears peeled.
Your ears.
I was trying to make a Batman thing because bats don't really have ears, do they? Have like
echolocation.
There it is. Keep it on your radar.
There you go. There you go. Good one. Keep it on your bat radar.
Sonar.
I almost caved on that first idea.
That's good.
All right. Stop me, Greg.
I hope I don't get arrested for pedophilia.
What?
That wasn't even a pun.
Well, because Commissioner Gordon arrests people.
Right.
All
right.
Batman arrests people.
Right? I say maybe it's time for the next story.
But for real, like, my question about this is it going to bring you, I know you like that.
He's
got
a Batman mug. I just got it.
I'm on it.
I just got it.
Are you going to buy this? Would you buy these skins? Is it going to bring you back to Fortnite? When's the last time you played Fortnite?
Well, the nice part is I hopped into Pandora very briefly and checked it out. And, you know, I got destroyed pretty fast. So
Kind of rusty.
I know. Well, it's rough on PC, too. But anyway, I like Fortnite. I've got too much to play. But I do always drop in for these events. So I'll be dropping in. Yeah, just, like, mess around in Gotham for a few. I don't know that I'll buy the skins. I just honestly... Money-wise, I'm not playing it enough to show that
off. Dude, but that's the thing for me where I, you know, my last binge of Fortnite was Christmas break where I just played it. It's the only thing I played over a break, and I played a lot of it. And then when they Endgame came around and they dropped Avengers stuff, I went in and bought it.
That mode.
I know I'll be back to Fortnite one day, so I went in and bought, like, the Star-Lord skin and all that jazz. And then in Black Widow. And then now that we're here, I'm like, if it's Batman, I gotta
go. You have to.
And I didn't even buy like the gliders and shit. I just bought the skins. This time around, I will buy everything. Barrett, are you buying everything tomorrow? You gotta buy everything.
It's gonna be about $30.
This weekend is Link's Awakening weekend, Greg. Yep.
I'm not saying are you going to play it. I'm saying are you going to turn it on
and buy this stuff.
And buy this
never
stuff.
That would require me to download Fortnite again.
Oh,
what is so difficult about that?
Now here's what I'm gonna tell you. You can just download it on your phone. That's what I do a lot of times. Download on the phone, then I can use that as my marketplace. Then I just have everything.
Yep.
Phone.
You can do it during work, is what he's saying.
What is that, Greg?
It's a phone.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's not going to be at work tomorrow.
It is usually $20-$30 for all this stuff. It's a serious investment to get all the premium stuff normally. But now that you're saying it, dang it, I kind of want it. Why do we do this? We're over here, you know, we talked on GamesCast this week about, like, well, is Link's Awakening worth a $60 price tag? And, you know, Tim loves it, and meanwhile, I'm over here all like, I don't know, Nintendo has $60 for this. Frame rate could have been better. You know?
I'm just a sucker.
I'll spend 30 bucks.
You're putting DC content in Fortnite? I will give you everything in hopes that we get more and more and more of it.
But wait, what do you consider the content? I mean, it's mostly a bunch of skins, and then, they theme out the city a little bit.
Yeah.
Will they do anything special?
I'm saying all their microtransactions for Batman I will buy.
Yes.
That is what I'm saying.
Content.
Full stop.
You look different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if I can look like Batman running around.
Yeah. You know I'm not hating on the event, though. I think it's really cool that they have the clout to do all this stuff. It seems like they can almost do anything they want at this point with their audience reach and now the experience they have. They must have, you know, how long has this been lined up for? 8 months, 6 months?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, think of what's out on the horizon. It's crazy. So, you can't stop Fortnite.
Speaking of the horizon, Gregway, number two on the Roper Report, The Last of Us Part 2 is officially part of State of Play next week, Tuesday the 24th at 1 p.m. Neil Druckmann himself tweeted out this image. First off, there's an image that Naughty Dog put up, right? It's like a motion graphic. It's Ellie's knife standing there, and then it says, you know, State of Play, and then September 24th, and then it has 1 p.m. Neil put it out and said, we've been silent for too long. It's time to put an end to that.
Fuck yeah.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you forgot or missed Games Daily yesterday, Sid Schumann over on the PlayStation blog put up a post and it said, hi all, excited to share the first details on PlayStation's next State of Play, which will air Tuesday, September 24th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. We are preparing a pretty hefty show, weighing in at around 20 minutes and sporting a fresh new look. And we'll have some great news to share with you, including new game reveals, new content from PlayStation's worldwide studios, and a host of other updates. Should be fun. Oh, and it probably bears mentioning, don't expect any updates related to our next-gen plans in this episode.
Sorry, PS5.
Womp, womp, you'll no matter how much people want to jump on it.
That's right. I'm just excited about this fresh new look. You know, I was kind of, I always was fine with State of Play, but that was one of my biggest commentaries. I'm like, you could do so much with all this. And it's, like, it was just a little like brand safe feeling.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know. I think it needs a cooler vibe. So I hope it's getting it and sure as heck bringing Last of Us to the table.
Fresh new look.
That's the edge you need right there.
Yeah, again, if you missed again yesterday the show, we're talking about the fact that on Tuesday, while like literally this is at 1 o'clock, at 1:30 is my I'm at the Last of Us Part 2 media event in LA.
Oh,
yeah, and there's a morning session that's already happening, so it's a weird mashup, and that would let us all. Yesterday, the hype, conversation was, of course, well, we're gonna get a release date, right?
Yeah,
is that's good?
Finally,
this beat will be, hey, Tuesday, here's the release date. Then, hey, when the embargo's up for Last of Us Part 2, here's the impressions. Here we go with that.
What is your current release date prediction from Greg Miller?
I think that February rumor makes sense. The February rumor from earlier this year?
I thought I remembered that.
Yeah.
Just put it on Valentine's Day at this point.
It's Friday. I mean, honestly, I think that's a really good fit for it.
Yeah.
Outside Friday. Of the fact that it's Valentine's Day.
But, you know, make it a dark.
Enough people, I think, played that game with their partner next to them.
Yeah.
Where I think that actually is an action.
Yeah, and I mean, we know that it has, you know, obviously tons of relationship themes and stuff in the game. Yeah. So there's an angle there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, regardless, just that's the second week in February, and you could do some fun marketing with it.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to go out on a Valentine's
Day. You don't have to feel bad.
I'm like, sorry, I'm playing The Last of Us
by myself
in a dark
room. You throw your little black book away. You know what I mean? You don't need it. You got The Last of Us Part 2. You're all set.
Exactly.
You have a date with Joel and Ellie.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Three-way.
As I was trying to come up with something.
Yeah. Let's move on.
A fransom.
What's wrong, Barrett? They're not blood-related. I've been watching a lot of Pornhub since the Borderlands thing yesterday. We got those Pornhub Borderlands stats yesterday.
I saw that. That was
Dude,
funny.
I didn't put on the Roper Report. Barrett, do you want me to put on the Roper Report?
The Borderlands
porn
searches?
Stats?
Please, for the fuck of God, no.
Oh, you can go to twitter.com/GameOverGreg if you want to see the Borderlands Pornhub statistics that Pornhub released.
People on Pornhub, Randy for the Borderlands news.
Yeah.
Randy. See, it was kind of a... He just goes, his name's Randy. I thought it
You're
was
trying
like,
to make like an Austin Powers, like Randy, like a horny joke.
Yeah, are you Randy?
Man, we are at the end of a week. Yep. We are at the end of a week, ladies.
I'm trying, Greg.
This
you know,
is where we're
at.
We're the pitchers, and we're just throwing junk.
That's
what
it.
Do you got? And they're just knocking That's them out of the park, hitting some dingers. Number three on the Roper Report. A French court says Steam users can resell their games. This is Matt Wales at Eurogamer. A court in France has ruled that Steam users have the right to resell their games following a case brought against the digital storefront giant by consumer group UFC Q Charles in 2015. I'm sorry, Jen, I don't know how to speak French still. The consumer group initially brought the case to the District Court of Paris, as reported by French websites Next Impact and Numera, in order to contest the legality of certain clauses within Steam's subscriber agreement under European law. Of primary concern was the UFC's belief. I'm just shortening it, and it's not the fighting people.
I keep thinking that's what I'm picturing. Is they're
UFC's belief that digital games should, like their physical counterparts, be eligible for resale. Ultimately, judges agreed with the organization using a 2012 European court ruling, parentheses, which said that a transaction for digital goods still implies the transfer of the right ownership as the basis for its decision, saying that Valve, quote, can no longer oppose the resale of this copy, even if the initial purchase is made by downloading, end quote. Valve's terms attempted to frame a sale as a subscription to a product. But the court ruled that users were, in fact, purchasing licenses, enabling European law to come into play. A number of other rulings were made in favor of the UFC, too, with the court proclaiming that 14 clauses in Valve's Steam subscriber agreement could not be enforced. For instance, judges said Valve cannot legally keep the contents of Steam Wallet's funds after a user leaves the platform, and users should be reimbursed when requested. Additionally, it said that Valve should accept responsibility when software used on its platform harms a user, even if it's in beta, should reduce its claim on mods and user-created content, and must be clear about the ways players can lose access to their Steam library for poor conduct. If Valve refuses to abide by the ruling and post the French court's decision to Steam within a month, it will have to pay a fine of 3,000 euros per day for up to 6 months. With this success in the bag, the UFC says it plans to take action against other platforms and projects, or products, I should say. Although it's worth noting that the case isn't closed yet. Valve still has the right to appeal, and Doug Lombardi told PC Gamer in a statement following the ruling that's exactly what the company plans to do. Quote, we disagree with the decision of the Paris court of first instance and will appeal it, said Lombardi. The decision will have no effect on Steam while the case is on appeal. Big news there, Fran.
It is. I mean, this only applies to France, though, right?
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a precedent.
This is exactly. This is just like the loot box stuff, right? Canary in the coal mine. When that started going down that hill, people had to get out of the way of it and try to change it up and get out there. Yeah.
I want to make sure I get this right. I really respect and support the idea that if you buy something, it's your right to sell it again. That being said, I actually really don't like used games. I think we have... It's hard to keep developers in business. I know... It's easy to look at a $60 game, though, especially for the profitable companies like Valve, who you know are sitting on stuff like Dota, and they have tons of money. But in general practice, like I hate the idea that I've used this. It's like, yeah, you have this piece of art, and then you quickly burn through it, and I'm just going to resell it. Like that's what happens, and sometimes happens too quick sometimes, in other words, right? Like you play it for a few days, and you take it back, and like, I don't know. I just generally don't like it. I don't buy used games. It's a practice. I mean, I try to get them for free all the time. But to to get them when it's through, you know, hey, I'm trying to run my own business here.
I understand. But, when you do buy it, you go to epicgames.com/creator-Fran Mirabella, right?
No Valve creator.
But it was also just funny of, like, the argument of, like, I don't like used games because I like supporting the developer and stuff. I'm like, but I also try to get them for free.
That was the joke and the disclosure, meaning I'm always talking about, man, I wish I could get a code because I'm just trying to save money right now.
I get it. Run
a profitable business. But in general, no, always, when I buy a game, like, I'm looking to buy it full price. That's me. How do you feel, Greg?
No, I did the same thing. This is one of those conversations that has been going on for years, right? And I feel like I talked about it yesterday with the white phosphorus debate from Modern Warfare,
yeah, sure.
Right? Of, as an industry and an art form and a community, I want us, as best as we can, I hope the show does this, to move away from binary, yes, no, right, wrong, blah, blah, right? What is the gray area? Mm-hmm. And growing up, when it was, hey, I'm trying to play as many games as I can, I was definitely the household of, or the gamer of, all right, cool, I've beaten these games, I'm done with this console, I'm going to go sell it to Funko Land, I'm going to go sell it to EB, I'm going to buy something else. If I was buying an older game, maybe I would buy used. I sold my games back
too,
all the
when
time.
When I was younger.
But there did come, and I mean, even when I was at IGN, when I started at IGN, and I was fucking broke as a joke, right?
Totally, yeah.
I remember the old days with Roper, right?
Yep.
And this is a different time and a different IGN, so everybody calm down. But I remember when
I
was tasked with organizing the PS2 library.
Oh, God.
And I did it, and I started noticing how many duplicates we had.
Oh, yeah.
And I went over to Roper, and I was like,
can we just have one of
these? No. I was like, hey, so we have a lot of duplicates. He's like, I know. I'm like, so if I took them all to the side, and we took them to GameStop and sold them, could I buy a PS3? Because I couldn't afford a PS3. I was on the PS3 team.
Yeah,
and Roper was like, sure, but we split it. And I'm like, deal. Right? And it was like totally a different time and different thing. But in that place in my life, to afford the next generation console, living in San Francisco, starting in a new thing, right?
You're reinvesting it in the industry, at least.
Of course. But I mean, that was the thing that eventually I feel like I got comfortable enough that, like, today it was like, oh, Untitled Goose Game is out. Okay, cool. I didn't hit anybody for a code. I just went to the eShop and bought the damn game. It's $15 bucks, right? Like, cool. Ready to go. When it is that I do this a lot with the games we do get codes for, right? Where if I get a game and enjoy it enough, like, and you know, Gone Home is always the example, but I've done it since then. But, you know, oh, cool. And then somebody's like, oh, I'd love to play it, but I don't have it. I'll try to buy them that game or whatever. You know, I'll do those one-offs and something like that. I do try to buy new when I go. I do buy new when I go out. I haven't bought a used game.
Yeah, like I stopped asking for codes many years at the tail end of my career at IGN. I mean, I'm talking half decade
or
more. I wouldn't even bother. I would always buy games. I was buying extra games, you know, giving them away. So when I had the funds to do it, like 100%. Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah, I would very often do that. If I got a code on the off chance, I'd give it to somebody. I would buy it. It was just sort of my practice.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're saving money, it's a different equation. And you're right. Like, I'm not judging, you know, if you make that decision, cool. If you want to buy a used game, that's your prerogative. If you want to sell a game to someone who wants to buy
That's why. And then we drift into this conversation of, like, it's with digital being brand new, and I use brand new loosely, but you know what I mean, in terms of the long game here of how we've been consuming games for decades, digital still being a new frontier. It is interesting that I've never bristled at, okay, cool, I buy the digital license and now it's just mine. That's how it is. I can't resell it. I can't do it. And when people have made that argument before, it's interesting to listen to. Reading this ruling from France, right, it's the same thing of, like, well, I guess that is true. Like, I guess it is weird that I'm going and do this. Of course, there's terms of service, right? This gets into when message boards delete something and somebody's like, what about free speech? And it's like, free speech applies to you being on the sidewalk in America, not you being in this thing where you've signed up and agreed to, you know, the EULA, the terms of service, the whatever you want to call it. Like, there's a different argument there for that. And the same thing of, there's a different argument for Steam, which is why it's going to be monumental if this holds and France does that. I want to bring in a conversation piece from Frank.
Nice name.
Furter.
Yep.
Frank I broke Furter. It up.
Good.
When it was one word, it was fine. Then I split it in two to put it in a smaller thing. And then I was like, wait, what? Frank Furter writes in and says, good morning, Fran and Greg. Holy cow, Batman, what is going on in France? The reselling of digital games? This would benefit the consumer, sure, but think about the repercussions it would mean for everyone else. Would this force Sony and Microsoft to have to let players sell their digital games? Would digital sales happen less often or more to beat demand? Would devs get any sort of income back from these resells? Are we living in anarchy, I tell you? Or we are living in anarchy, I tell you. Steam has some finagling to do, but what do you think comes out on top?
Yep.
The statement here, right, is that UFC Q Chilson says it plans to take action against other platforms and products, which 100% means that if this sticks, they're going for PlayStation. They are going to go for Xbox.
Yeah.
It's
the first domino to fall.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting. I also think Frank brings up a good point that's been on my mind, too. It's like, okay, well, if it's all getting officialized, then, you know, do we get to the point that developers are getting cuts of resales, too?
Yeah.
To make sure that, yeah, they get their part of it.
And that gets to be such a sticky situation.
Right.
And how do you do that? And how, like, you're talking about, like, and I'm stupid. Everyone knows that, right? I was talking about I don't understand business. I definitely don't understand online infrastructure. Mm. I have no idea if this came through. If this sticks, I imagine what happens is Steam and everybody else halts sales digitally in France because PlayStation can't flip a switch tomorrow to make it like, cool, we've now got a way built in that you can resell your licenses.
But that's the crazy part is that the pushback will be is if this gets bigger. It's like, yeah, like, look, you can't. It's a nice idea and all, and I'm sure the courts don't care. But, like, technically speaking, yeah, you can't. Okay, you got to have a system of deactivating license, reselling and activating a new license. How all that? I don't even know that that's built. Like, I think the current practice would be, yeah, they'd have to deactivate your game, make sure that works and it's 100% there, and then keep your saves probably in case you buy it again. Who knows? Then give, you know, the person you sold it to a brand new license out of the new codes. Or who knows? But those systems probably don't exist for any of these.
And products. That would be the thing that I think would stall this so fast would be like, cool, even if you do that, like, we don't have that.
Just adding a button to the store alone. Like, look, we've been around websites and product, and that stuff takes forever. But, I mean, you know, it's starting. Something's starting. And it's only in France right now as well. So, that is also the interesting part is, like, it's still Steam in France, right? It's not, like, meaning it's not an actual corner store in France. That's the irony of all this. It is Steam.
Yeah.
So product, regardless, if you got to make these changes infrastructurally, as you're getting at, doesn't matter that it's just in one country.
And it would be that concern, that if it happens here, it's going to happen somewhere else. They're going to do this, and it would fall that way. It'll be interesting to see how it nets out.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the if it gets forced. The principle, again, I support. It's like I bought something, I want to resell. That should be my right. Yeah. Whether it's a piece of art or not, that's my business. However. It's been a problem in the industry that people just want to buy the used games and they wait till it's on sale and it becomes a strategy versus supporting, you know, the developers. And then we run into all kinds of situations with people going out of business or
and
not
that's,
getting paid
and that's
enough
the other scary thing about this. And I'm not and I don't know, like, right. It's capitalism and all these different things in a free market. All the other shit that I don't really remember. The invisible hand. Right. The checks and balances. I'm not sure. But it would then be the concern that right. That if this did happen. And I don't think you'd see developers getting a cut out of it. I don't think you'd see publishers getting a cut out of it. If it was just that suddenly the GameStop, you know, used bin that's $15 less is online, so many people would use that you do start to wonder of what the chilling effect would be. Because you already see it with people not buying an indie game. Oh, we were talking about it yesterday with Imran. Oh, I missed the zeitgeist of this game. I'll wait for a sale. I'll wait for PlayStation Plus. I'll wait for Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah. But. What's funny, you know, when you think about it, is like if this domino falls and more fall, well, the other dominoes that are going to fall are all the publishers and developers. They're now going to come after it's just be a huge mess, meaning Annapurna is going to come after her and be like, wait, you can't resell our game. I'm going to appeal it. You got everybody, you know, intersecting on this one because, I mean, there's no way that they're going to let you resell their game digitally without getting a cut. But then their original contract doesn't say that because it's not allowed.
Honestly, my thoughts on this because Frankfurter asked like what's going to happen here. I don't think it holds in France. But the only reason I don't think it holds in France is just because it's so complicated, which isn't a legal bearing on why that wouldn't actually work. But I have to imagine. Taking a step back from just games, right? We're talking about music and everything you bought, comics, everything I buy digitally everywhere that I can't resell.
So yeah, exactly.
I feel like smarter people than us have had this conversation and come down on this is why it's not going
to
happen that way.
Yeah, like what happens to music digital sales in France? You know what I mean?
I don't think they do it. They just have baguettes.
They just exactly so stick to it. But like meaning, why is it? It's coming up with this, but like that would be my appeal. Part of my appeal, I'm sure. If I'm at Valve, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like you have tons of digital sales of a creative art form.
Yeah.
I mean, TV episodes, any number. Apple now is on the hook. I'd be like, why are you starting with us?
Why are you pushing us around?
Yeah, I'd be like, you want to do this? Get everybody in the room. This is absurd. Like you're
precedent, man. Because then you could, if that's the thing about it, is if this sticks, suddenly there's legal bearing to go after everybody and change it that way.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's just because this consumer group brought it up, but you know, Maybe that's strategy.
Damn
Valve.
Dana White and his UFC French division. You know what I mean?
Valve just needs to start a consumer group and get... they need to bring the same case against other companies and make it a hot mess. So they just give up. But anyway, again, I support the idea, which that's the irony. I'm like, yeah, I think you should be able to do it. But like, not until you sort all this other stuff
out.
And
that's the thing about it, again, as we talk about this gray area, is like, on paper, when you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah. Then you look at it, I'm like, well, I don't want to see everything fucking collapse upon itself.
Like, what if, you know, have not thought this through, but I'm like, what if you can't?
Nobody thinks this show through. We just come out here and talk.
Exactly. But, yeah, you always get thrown under the bus. I'm worried about it. But what if you can't resell your stuff for 30 days, as an example? Like, there's got to be limits on the stuff. Again, those are more what I think about are the people that buy a game. They return it in a few days, well, or they just resell it days after and... That really sucks for the developers, especially on smaller games. So,
yeah, it's interesting. And I guess, you know, in order to contest legality of certain clauses within Steam's subscriber agreement under European law, so it might also be that thing that American law doesn't have, you know, that we're okay with you saying you signed away all your rights by coming in here and, right. and agreeing to be on this platform.
Anything goes over here. It's the Wild West still, I think.
Dude, right? You know what I saw over here on the way here? This guy riding a motorcycle, two syringes in his eyes.
Yeah!
Anything can happen in America.
Good God, that's horrifying.
That's not how, I didn't see that, everybody.
You honestly, in San Francisco, I would have believed you. I'm like, not. I half believed him.
Have you watched The Last Black Man in San Francisco?
No.
I have.
I know
I think
you,
I heard
you
of it. Yeah.
You should watch it.
It's really good.
But there's a great scene of the guy who's a skateboarder, right, sitting at the bus stop, and a dude in the Castro, this naked guy, comes up and sits down next to him. He's an old man, naked, puts down his little, like, doily so he can sit on the stop. And they're just sitting there, and it's totally, like, is something you and I would see every day in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And one of those, like, motorized trolleys that, you know, you can, like, drive. Rolls up, and it's a bunch of drunk, like, tech bros on it, and they all start screaming, this guy fucks the guy.
Shh.
And as they roll away, the naked guy just turns to the skater, he's just like, this fucking city. And it's, like, such a great, like, the clash of cultures in San Francisco at the moment of, like, people who've been here forever, there's, like, an accepted level of weirdness, and then, like,
but they're the idiots on the...
Nothing made me ever, I don't think, cringe more than that scene, because it's really, it's fucking real.
Oh, the whole movie's fucking real.
Yeah.
I, for real, like, the ending of them on the Muni,
yeah.
when those two women are like, ah, this fucking city,
you don't get to hate San Francisco.
He's like, excuse me, do you love San Francisco? Or you don't get to hate San Francisco.
Yeah, you're not
like,
from here.
Do you love San Francisco? You can't hate San Francisco until you love it. And I was like, that's like the most honest fucking thing I've ever heard about the damn city.
That's solid.
Number four. Sorry, we'll stop talking about San Francisco. Number four, Minecraft is getting a character creator. This is Alicia Judge over at IGN.com. Minecraft is introducing an in-game character creator that lets players customize their avatar's hairstyle, skin color, and body shape. As announced in the Minecraft Beta's 1.13.0.15 patch notes, there'll be over 100 free customization items alongside extra accessories created by the development team available for purchase. The creator appears to be fairly detailed, with the notes promising options to design, quote, body size and shape, limb replacement and tweaking of eyes, mouth, hairstyles and colors, facial hair, and skin tones. Previously, custom skins were created outside the game and imported in were the only way to personalize your avatar. That approach is still allowed in Classic Skins tab, where players can upload them the same way they did before. Fran, you called this one out. Thanks for finding that one for me.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a Minecraft player. It's just a time thing. I know I'd really enjoy Minecraft. In fact, recently, a lot of people started playing it again, and I was like, ooh, I might have to hop in. I'm waiting for the HDR, the ray tracing stuff that they're adding, is what I meant to say.
Fucking nerd.
PC. Man. Oh, dude, have you seen this, Greg? Have you seen this trailer?
They killed the super high-res texture pack, right? And then now this is the next thing.
I didn't know that they killed that, but maybe.
That is correct.
Maybe. But it does sort of do this. But anyway, it's a beautiful, like, everything's, like, reflective. And, I mean, it's still, like, this low polygonal world. Everything's squares and bits. But anyway, I digress. Tons of Minecraft players. So this is a big moment. You know, when you look at, funny, looking at the patch number, you're like, this game has been around a long time. When are they going to go to a 2? I mean, I guess when it's officially Minecraft 2. So
no, never. I'll never
stick to that. I mean, it's funny. The patch, though, it's still warm.
So Minecraft's long promise, super duper 4K graphics pack is canceled. That is...
When did that story...
That is August 13th, 2019.
Oh, okay.
But you're not wrong, because I remember that happening, and then Tim showing me a video
of
You okay? Ray tracing stuff, where it was like, it's two different conversations, but
yeah.
Heads up.
But it looks beautiful. See, anyway, meaning I'll probably play it around then. I think more character creation is obviously better.
And I'm surprised they didn't do it yet. You know, me and Brian played Minecraft for a long time at IGN, and I played it on Vita for a long time. And every so often, I'll tinker with it on the Switch. But I never thought about the fact that there wasn't like a true in-game, here's how you create your character outside of having to go make a skin.
Yep.
So yeah, good on them.
And exactly. You don't want to have to bounce outside the game, use a different tool, re-upload. I mean, it is the Minecraft community, so they're very savvy at it.
Yeah.
And it's awesome that they're still supporting it and not, like, trying to replace it.
And also, hey, shout out to Minecraft for still being so goddamn popular.
Oh, yeah.
Sat down next to a kid on the bus the other day. He was just still watching Minecraft videos. And he wasn't even, like, a kid. He was, like, you know, in his teens. I was like,
what do you think the over-under is on Minecraft searches on Pornhub, Greg?
Oh, I'm sure they're good. There's a lot of creeper porn on it. A lot of creeper porn.
Creeper.
Barrett, are we not adults? Can we not have adult conversations on the show?
Barrett, you swear all the time.
You swear all the time.
This makes you uncomfortable.
I saw you smoke drugs before you came in here today.
He
doesn't smoke drugs. I don't even really smoke a cigarette. He did.
You know that Greg doesn't either. He doesn't smoke drugs. Just sounds like
I have no idea how to do most drugs.
I inject drugs.
Remember
Greg.
The suicide. Remember the.
You only mainline. He only mainlines everybody.
I did interrupt Barrett's Blink-182 album review. Oh, you can catch that on Instagram.com/sadboybarrett.
I posted that video and someone said, "Why do you look like you're being caught by a parent?"
I haven't had the time to watch it yet. I'm glad you did. Number five, GamesIndustry.biz held its annual work awards, the best places to work awards. We thought, since there's never enough good news on the show, I'd give you some good news and stuff and give some shouts to good people.
Positivity.
Christopher Dring wrote this, and I'm pulling it, of course, from GamesIndustry.biz. The winners of the third GamesIndustry.biz Best Places to Work Awards have been revealed. This is UK, of course. The best places to work in the UK video games industry are Big Pixel Studios, Creative Assembly, Criterion, D3T, Dalala, Electric Square, Fail Better Games, which is a great name, Hammerhead VR, Hangar 13, Lucid Games, Media Molecule, Moji Works, Natural Motion, No Code, Playground Games, Rare, Space Ape Studios, Studio Gobo, Unit 2 Games, and Unity. Mm-hmm. At the event, GamesIndustry.biz also revealed the winners of a number of special awards around education, health and well-being, corporate social responsibility, and diversity. It also named the number one scoring small, mid-sized, and large studios. The winners were the Corporate Social Responsibility Award in partnership with Special Effect for companies that support charities and the wider games business went to Jagex. Is how I say that one?
I don't know. Jagex. Probably Jagex.
The Health and Well-Being Award for companies who support their staff's physical and mental welfare, Mediatonic. The Diversity Award for companies that encourage a diverse workforce in games, Media Molecule. The Education Award for companies that support schools, universities, and colleges, Creative Assembly. That's where Tom works, right? Creative Assembly?
Kind of funny best friend. Hawkins?
Yeah. I'm 99% sure it's Tom.
I'm just trying to remember what Creative Assembly does, and it's
the strategy game for Sega.
Total War.
Yeah, exactly,
yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, I'm surprised you know that's big on PC, right next to fucking Minesweeper. The best small company, the highest scoring company under 50 employees, was Dalala Studios. The best mid-sized company, the highest scoring company under 200 employees, was Space Ape Games. The best large company, the highest scoring company with over 200 employees, was Playground Games. And then the UK's best boss was none other than Siobhan Reddy over at Media Molecule. Shout out to all of them doing good stuff.
I didn't know Hangar 13 was still around, to be honest.
I did not either until I read they were one of the best places to work.
Yeah, like I thought for some reason they had like been shut down or something after Mafia 3, but
that's what I thought too.
Yeah, but I guess they're still around.
Not,
fucking
right still
fucking good for them.
Hangar 13, developers of Mafia 3.
They're up to something.
But isn't it, are we thinking of the right thing? Because Hangar 13, I thought.
There
it is. Hangar 13 is in Brno, Brighton, Prague, and Novato.
Interesting.
They're all over the fucking place.
Wow.
Let's click on studios here for Hangar 13. Brighton, that's in England. Located just 45 minutes via train from London, Brighton is one of UK's most diverse and downright interesting cities. Does it talk about the studio? Well, let's just tell me about Brighton. All right, cool. Good enough for me. I'll take it. Whatever.
Cool.
And then home. You got a tab about games? Because what else are they working on? Kindoffunny.com/. You're wrong.
I think they did like some Borderlands
stuff.
It's all
just Mafia
3 stuff.
Yeah, they're just doing a lot of port work and help.
I think so.
Okay. Well,
Mafia 3.
Mafia 3?
Not
bad. Did you play it?
Yeah.
You like it?
I would say I could see the argument. it might be one of the best stories of this generation. This, like, console generation.
But it was, like, a lot of backtracking and, like...
Yeah, the gameplay design wasn't great. Like, the, like open worldness of it was lame, but I really liked that story.
That sucks. I hate it when there's a good story embedded in a game that...
And it was buggy as all fuck when it launched.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. I remember watching Colin play it, and I was like, because we were both excited for it. He's like, oh, man. I'm like, fuck. Alex Russ, Zero Syndicate, wrote into kindoffunny.com/wrong and says, it's pronounced Jagex, the company behind RuneScape, the browser-based MMO. Borzen says Hangar 13 did all the 4K texture packs for Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel. Huh. And then speaking of 4Ks and stuff, Nanobiologist says the Minecraft ray tracing pack is set to be released within the next year. No specific
date. Yeah, we don't have a date yet. So
I hate not having dates.
What he's saying, Greg, you have time to pick out a PC. We work
Throw
together.
Throw out the fucking window. Yep. Jen got a PC, you know.
You're a PC player.
Jen got a new PC, so I got to share my bedroom with this fucking thing over here. It's all like,
I'm gonna Excel.
That's right. You know what I mean? Get out of here.
This guy's a faker, man. He's like, you know how much Greg loves wrestling?
Yeah.
He is the character. The truth is, one of these days, we're going to expose you for the PC player you are. We know you go home
that's 100%
with your ray tracing,
and
your DLSS, and your anti-aliasing upgrades.
Oh, my God. You know how much I love a good anti-aliasing. You know what I mean? I love sitting in a chair, a really uncomfortable chair at a desk when I'm at home.
Just tuning your advanced
Not being able to touch Portillo. It's great.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
We're going to expose him.
Fran,
PC player he is.
I have been waiting years for you to expose me. But that day is still so far away. This is a sexual show.
If
I wanted to know more about what was coming to the mom and grab shops today, where can I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Out today. First off, we missed this yesterday, right? So I wanted to put this in there. You tossed me, Fran. I'm reading from Polygon where Austin Goslin says, Remnant from the Ashes has a new dungeon. The latest patch, which came out Thursday afternoon, added the Leto's Lab dungeon to the game, as well as making a few balance and quality of life changes.
Jared Leto in there. Interesting.
He's reprising his role as the Joker, everybody. We're all very, very excited.
Not that way. That game's really cool. So if you haven't played it, check it out. But also, yeah, I wanted to.
I was very confused. Don't get me wrong. I love you sending links for Kinda Funny Games Daily, but I saw it and it was like, they release a new dungeon and belly flop. And
I saw that too.
Oh, they fucked up. And then it's like, no, there's like a move in the game that's a belly flop. I'm like, oh.
That's funny. All right, totally. They flopped. I see.
Untitled Goose Game is out on Switch, PC, and Mac finally.
Right, Barrett?
Yeah.
The biggest release of the day, Barrett.
No.
What's wrong?
Rebound Dodgeball Evolved is on Xbox One and PC. Skybolt Zack is on Switch and PC. The Sojourn is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Niflheim is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Reign of Reflections is on PC. Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch is on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC.
Greg, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
On this one. Did you play the first one?
Ni No?
Yeah.
Only a couple hours at the beginning. Liked it, but then it was too big. Yeah, it's on Switch now, which is exciting.
Yeah, that was the question of if I should pick it up at one point. It's too busy right now. Way too fucking busy right now.
Are you kidding me? There's so many goddamn games out.
Yeah.
Insane.
Fucking Borderlands, fucking Link, Goose,
The
Apple.
Legend of Zelda. Link's Awakening is on Switch today.
Fuck yeah.
Heck yes.
What are you doing? You just getting a pizza and packing it in and just going to play that all weekend?
Tonight and tomorrow. I'm hoping to beat it by tomorrow late afternoon.
Wow. And you've never played it before, right?
No.
Wow.
But I know it's like roughly if you're not one of these like slow video gamers like Tim who's like I'm like 14 hours or blah, 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 blah. I was like I know I can probably beat this shit in like 10. So.
Huh. Okay. Good on you. Here's my thing. I'm thinking I might hold it until the flight to London.
Oh, there you go.
Which is still a year. A year away.
But London is far away.
But I've waited. If I wanted to go to a country more close.
No, wait, let me finish. If I wanted to know when Kinda Funny events are, where would I go?
You go to kindoffunny.com/events.
Boom. Yeah, by the Kinda Funny web.
It's just like, again, though, I'm just overloaded right now. Because I want a Platinum Borderlands. Yeah. I want to get back in Platinum Control. But you know both of those are going to be a bitch because there's so many games coming.
Yeah.
I want to play Link. I want to play Goose. I got a million games on Apple Arcade now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing all of that. Rewatching fucking Breaking Bad before
the
movie comes.
Just stop watching TV. It's not worth it. You've seen Breaking Bad. You know, ding, 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 explosion. It's over.
Boom. Okay.
All right. Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening is on Switch. Spellworm is on Switch. Island Maze is on Switch. Tidewag Vernimmine is on Switch. I might have just summoned a demon. Zenith Switch. Biloxis is on PC. And then Borderlands 3 has some hot fixes Fran put in here.
then it's just like this huge like list of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch up. Hot fixes are smaller than the big like giant patches or whatever. These are the ones that you can go to the game. What do you got?
Oh,
you're
pointing.
No, it's fine.
I was just gonna. Are you gonna mention anything from them?
I don't know. I was gonna do. What do you got? You tell me. You put it in there. What's the biggest stuff for you?
Yeah. Well, what I was gonna say is, if you want to check this stuff out, head to Borderlands.com. Go to the little news section under media or something game. But anyway, under there you can find the info. But the biggest thing probably, they are working on hotfix stuff or performance, and so some of that's still to come. But the loot adjustment. So there's been a pretty big commentary going on. You just get like a lot of loot once you hit the mayhem, you know, modes. There's mayhem 1, 2, and 3, right? The bigger the difficulty, the more loot that's dropping. And it's like raining legendaries, and you're going to grind out some bosses, and people are like, man, I'm getting like 5 legendaries in a run. And so anyway, they have adjusted that down. So I don't know what the results are.
I didn't get there in time.
I did hear from my co-host, Hefty Teft, great guy, and he plays so much Borderlands. He's probably sunk like almost 100 hours. Like, he's nuts. And he did try it last night, and he said that was the example he used. He went from like 5 legendaries to like 3. So now that was a quick example, but doesn't seem like it's a huge nerf. In other words,
I started playing the Mayhem. I did Mayhem 3 for the first time last night.
Oh, nice!
And fucking hard. Just for where I am, because I'm level 40 or whatever. Everybody's a bolt sponge. But then I was like opening boxes and getting like $2,000 out of them. Like fuck yes.
Yeah, and the experience levels are insane. Yeah, love it. Worth playing. But anyway, that's a big change. And then what else was big in here?
I kind of just pulled from the very end there. So yeah, it's more of the thing that like, if you're having performance problems, they're talking about it on the Borderlands show, literally as we do this right now, that they are on top of it. They're doing it. The first big patch is coming later next week.
Yeah, they adjusted a couple other things. Like they're like loot tanks were appearing in one area too often, which of course then you're farming loot tanks. And it's like, you're in a way, I mean, this is what we do in these types of games. You're going to farm and exploit and get what
break
you
it.
Yeah, of course. But so they're trying to balance that out. And then also little things like Iridium currency, right, was appearing too often. It was refreshing. And so some, frankly, is minor stuff. The biggest change for me was the mayhem loot drops. And so I'll be curious if the community feels it's right or it's still too plentiful. But they can make changes super fast. So I think that's really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. New dates for you. After Party comes out October 29th.
All right.
Exactly. That's huge. I can't wait for that game. Another good spoopy game, right? Halloween time. We're going to be in hell.
And it's going to be
it's
about
Ghostbusters. It's Luigi's Mansion. It's After Party. It's Medieval. That's a good October.
After Party is all about drinking, too.
It is. I know. Yeah. I know. Makes sense. I'm a big fan of that one. Yeah. Okay. Friend of the show, Janina Gavankar in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. She's in After Party. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Deals of the day. I have none for you, but I have reader mail. But first, let me tell you about reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/PAX Tournament. You've heard me talk about all week, but we put up over the weekend the PAX Tournament. Of all of us playing a bunch of dumb games. Alex Rubin's getting hit in the head with a White Claw, bleeding all over the place. Snowbike Mike co-hosting with me. It's fantastic. Everybody go check it out.
Greg rigged it, and I don't know. There's I don't want to try
to
spoil
really
what happened.
You. I really can't help you that much. You know what I mean?
Rigged it.
Have you done any Apple Arcade stuff yet?
Yeah.
The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Frame. Greg, since you've had some time with Apple Arcade, what games have you tried so far? Are there some games that really stood out to you, but since you've tried it, you've deleted it? Are there others that you are now completely addicted to? I've been playing a lot of What the Golf and am loving the unique level designs they've implemented and can't wait to try out more. Fran, have you tried the service yet? And if so, what do you think about it?
Oh, wow. Targeted at me. Thanks for checking first.
That's why one day I'll do it before we're live on the air, but you know, I'll just keep you on your toes.
That's right. So we talked about it in Gamescast. I would encourage you to watch Gamescast because it got a little saucy.
Fascinating discussion.
Yeah, because Tim was like, "Why? I don't know. Why should I even care?"
Tim's like, "I hate video games. I'm going to go build a bed." I'm like, what?
The irony, right? He's gone today because he's getting an iPhone, right? And then he's like, why would I play games on my phone? You know,
does like games probably more than most of us.
He plays tons of games.
No, mobile games. Because he was always the one who came on playing Kingdom Rush. I'm playing this.
That still escaped me in the show, but
It's a fascinating conversation.
We get into it because we got into the idea of in-app purchases and where is the service headed. Anyway, watch that for detail. My quick review, now that I've got to touch it, is, still, the value is incredible. So, number one, free this month. If you have the phone, you would be, you'd be stupid. I normally would never say this to you as people I respect in the gaming community, part of our family here, but you'd be stupid not to try this because there's so many valuable games for free right now. Easy to cancel later if you're not interested, but it's also only $5. So Anyway, there's a ton of good games. I played Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Fuck yeah, dude.
In bed, on my phone. What a pleasure, man.
Yeah.
That's the type of game. I talk about this a lot when I'm on Gamescast, and I'm like, but where were you? What was your mindset? Where would you play this game? You know, and it is like that for me. Like, I sit in front of my PC for these big AAA shooter, sure, whatever, deep games, and so I'd be able to lean back in bed and just, like,
Wild Hearts, right, if you didn't know, is an album. It's meant to be played, yeah, like an album you listen to, yep, for music, right? Like a pop album. So, yep, it's beautiful. It's colorful. It's got these neons to it.
Just vibing out.
It's the perfect game, I think, for your phone in that respect. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. It's on Switch. It's on a bunch of other stuff. I'm sure on a TV.
I got
it's
it for
huge
free.
And looks beautiful. But yeah, in terms of, like, that's the kind of thing where if I'm stressed out, commuting, waiting at the DMV, whatever, put that on and, yeah, just listen to great tunes and do a really cool thing of collecting, yeah, hearts. Awesome.
That was super enjoyable. Check out Oceanhorn real fast. I have an iPhone XS. Performance-wise, actually, it wasn't running as well as I maybe thought. I didn't know I'm going along in this. But I backed out of that, and then I actually tried Hexaflip. And full disclosure, some ex-IGN folks work over at the publisher for that, which is how I heard about it.
For who?
Rogue. Matt. You know, Matt.
No. I missed the title of the game. Sorry.
Oh, Hexaflip.
Hexaflip. I've never
it's
heard
just
of
a
it.
Little puzzle game that you click left and right, and you're like a hexagon.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's just a clicky puzzle game, and it's pretty fast moving, and it's pretty simple, actually, but yeah, it was one of those games that, whatever, I'm like, I'll check it out. And it's all right. I actually saw it got written up by a Pocket Gamer or something like that, so it seems like it's probably okay. But again, I'm a little biased because I'm like, sure, I'll try it out. I know I want to try Super Impossible Road as well, also published by these folks.
Nice.
I played Impossible Road all the time. It's the ultimate toilet game, by the way. So, yeah, you know, if you play your phone on the toilet, play Super Impossible Road. It's the game for you.
I tried out Skate City.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
It's fucking rad.
Yeah? I've heard good things about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a cool, great game.
It's a lot of good stuff.
Definitely, I know you're already watching this, so you already care about us, that'd be great. Gamescast, of course, goes up Monday everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now and get it early access. I'm in the same spot I was there, where I downloaded a whole bunch of stuff and jumped into Grindstone, and I can't stop playing Grindstone. Grindstone is fucking awesome. It's from
Seems
Cappy,
cool.
Of course, Cappy, below, helped publish Sword and Sorcery, did Critter Crunch back in the day, which we all loved, and this is more in the vein of Critter Crunch in terms of everything coming from the top of the screen, falling down, and you go attack, you go do this thing. Love it. Sayonara Wild Hearts, I already know I love. What the Golf, I've seen everyone talking about. Gary's in love with it, I know. Gary's in love with Cricket Through Time, which I've downloaded. Jenny LeClue finally out. It's on here. I have that done. Assemble's supposed to be rad, because Assemble is from Don't Tell Me.
I don't know.
The people who made Monument Valley.
I don't know the developer name, but
this
Monument
is everybody tells me it's a 2-hour experience that's kind of like a Florence. Assemble.
Huh.
Where you're like
assembled?
Assemble. Where you're going through and assembling things, and you're finding out about like broken items and then broken relationships.
I really like
it. So it sounds like it's already doing the Greg Miller thing that I want of tugging at my heartstrings, doing all these different things.
Dude, this, there's
mini
a lot.
Motorways, everybody says is awesome. I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not, this is what I tweeted today. There's too many games. And of course, that means everything's stacked up on my PlayStation, everything's stacked up on my Switch, but it also now means my phone, where even though Grindstone isn't like a story game, if I have the chance and I have my phone out, I want to play that rather than start something else and start hopping around. I hate hopping around. I hate just tasting games and
me
going.
Me too, I know. And that's what I'm doing right now. Like, yeah, there's this huge buffet of Apple Arcade, and I'm just trying to, like, get a taste. So I'm somewhat informed. I want to see. But then I'm like, I'm not playing any of these outright yet. But it's a nice problem to have. Mm. So
Agreed.
As much as I knew it was coming and I knew they had some good stuff, I didn't expect
this
it.
This is well above my expectations.
Yeah, well
This
above.
Is, like, right now. And right now, for launch of this thing, as we were talking about yesterday, I'm like, wow, this is very impressive. And I think, again, what I was talking about yesterday, where we were having this argument of, I think it was Imran, right, who's like, it's not really aimed at us gamers. And I was like, I think it totally is. And
yeah,
I think
that's
it's working.
Right.
The fact that we're all playing mobile games all of a sudden and talking and tweeting about mobile games, and people are telling me games that I missed on Apple Arcade, other people are coming to me saying this. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty impressive right now. Just Gary's saying,
playing.
Everybody. Pretty impressive. Ashen Rabs writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, morning, Greg and Fran. He said Tim, but it's a late switch on you.
Yeah. Way to expose the truth.
Do you want me to lie to you or them? I'll never do that, Fran. Never. I know you guys mainly cover gaming news, but why don't you guys cover some esports news? I understand why it wouldn't be on your guys' radar, and Andy's esports pool is rather shallow, parentheses, being just following Overwatch League as far as I know and remember. But some stories have come out that are rather interesting. From Yusuke Momochi. His refusal to get a JESU, a Japanese Esports Union license, reducing his first place winnings in Asia Premier from about $46,000 to $558 in a gaming monitor, to the rise of Pakistan in the Tekken 7 scene, where Arslan Ash won both EVO Japan 2019 and EVO 2019. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the KFBFs can bring up stories relating to esports that sound interesting. Just something to think about, and may the sun ever shine on your coming days.
Nice.
Which is a great sign off.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, Ash. Ashen. I think you're right. I have covered esports on the show before myself, but it's definitely not, it's not like any of our beats here. Yeah. I think the truth is, and maybe you can relate to this, Greg, like when there's a beat like that, it can be scary to cover because you're like, happy to cover it. Like, am I putting in the right story? You know, we obviously do the best we can. There's a lot of news, you know, to put in the show. And obviously we want to tackle what the audience wants to hear. But I don't know. I do feel like it's a missing corner.
Sure. It's a complicated answer. You know, I've always said that what Kinda Funny is lucky to be is somewhere between what we did at IGN and YouTube, mm-hmm. and a traditional YouTuber or Twitcher or whatever. And so to be in that space, we've built the company to emulate what we care about. And so we are still very much, and I know IGN does esports coverage to an extent now, but we are still very much of the IGN we left, which was like, cool, we cover consoles primarily, right? Like PC, we talk about and engage, but like now that Fran's here. Now that Fran here, when I'm always like, I don't know why people don't like Epic Games Store. You have to write in and tell me, right? Because I don't use it. It's the idea that Kinda Funny's built and based around our passions. So that's how you get the genuine, authentic content you get from us. Esports gets into this thing where it's none of our passions right now on staff. And so, yeah, we could bring in a story and do it, but then you lose that authenticity to an extent.
Yeah.
Where I can come, we've done it before with like, here's who won Evo, right? I remember last time I was paired with Tim for that. And Tim actually cares about Evo, so he's able to comment on that. Whereas, like, we can give you that news, but if we're not giving you any
commentary
sure. on it, what's the value of it? I know that, like, you know, we talk about, I like to think we're an open book in terms of what we cover, how we cover it, when we cover it, why we don't cover it. And so to get it involved into something that would be, I think right now I just don't have a bullshit detector on what's the news and what's not the news.
That's what I was getting at is you want, you know, the show comes together pretty fast in the morning and you want the best stuff in there. But yeah, it's a combination of what do you guys want, the audience
and that's
wants.
The other thing too is I think that we've built and cultivated an audience that comes here for a specific type of gaming news. If there's a demand for esports, we can look into doing that. If we were the next hire we get, right, if that person comes in and is like, yo, I'm all about esports, and I bet you're going to see an uptick in esports coverage.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, like, it's just business. That's just the truth of how this works, meaning I agree with you. We could cover this. And by the way, more. We get the same comment on, if you read gamesindustry.biz, there's so many other stories about the industry. And so you could do the same write-up. Why aren't you guys covering the industry more often? You do some of it, but you don't do nearly enough because it's too small. And so where I was going with this, Greg, right, and you know this better than anyone else out there because you worked at IGN, but it's like, what's the chasm of page view and eyeball difference between mm-hmm. The Last of Us 2 is going to be in State of Play versus one of these stories?
Right.
It's meaning if you were to put a multiplier on it, it's like 50,000x in attention.
Sure.
Now, again, it doesn't make the story unimportant. It's just
of course.
You're trying to cater your audience, but also what we're experts at.
I feel like you're saying. And correct me if I'm wrong, please, guys. And I don't mean literally on kindoffunny.com/wrong. I'd love this to be a conversation on the subreddit engage any community you want. Subreddit where I actually check in every day or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames because there's a note field. If you never used it, it's, you know, you go there, you give me your name, your question or whatever, but then there's a notes to us. You could put anything you want in any of those things for us
give
to read.
Give me your name.
If that, but it would be the thing that I think if you're like, I would say the biggest I shouldn't even say that. I don't know if there was an esports story that I thought, and we've done it, I guess, like the Call of Duty, like, lawsuits and stuff when they were like getting that whole gambling thing. Right. If there's something that breaks into our industry or crosses over into our realm of gaming, I think we talk about it, but I don't know if there's value in us covering these smaller stories, because I feel like if you cared about that, if you knew that player on that level, you'd be going to whatever the Kinda Funny Games Daily esports equivalent is, which I know there's a million shows that are like ESPN for esports.
Yeah, and maybe one other last note when you get, you know, you start getting really into the news beat process, is I was going to even suggest, I'm like, well, you know what? I mean, you guys know better than us as part of what we're saying. So yeah, why don't you write that in the morning questions? Like if you see a big story, say, hey, maybe this is some required reading, but there's caveat here, right? How do we know for sure that it's an accurate story? And we go through it all the time. If we're not sure the story's accurate or what to say about it, it doesn't always make the show.
Yeah.
And so meaning if down this line, it's a challenge. But duly noted, I think. And I certainly look for it when I can.
I'm trying to act like you're better than me.
I didn't know. I've covered it before, but
you know what I mean?
Were,
you hear him on when
get
I host
your
the
high
show.
Fucking
I've done
horse
it,
but
I put esports in there before. That's me, Fran.
Like, Greg, if there was like
Lord Almighty
trophy,
over here.
Trophy news.
Well,
or
that, if there's trophy news, that applies to everybody.
But meaning I wouldn't know what to do with it. Wouldn't know.
I mean, you put it story number one with a
story
bullet.
Story,
you know,
number one.
Kale Dolphin Corn writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey, Greg and Fran. On Wednesday, an article titled Borderlands Has a Problem with Dwarfism and Disability was published on VG247, written by freelance writer Jeremy Peel. My question doesn't have to do with the article itself, but what happened after it was published. After reading it, I wanted to comment my thoughts on it, so I scrolled down to the comment section, and it was a lot of negative and some hurtful words. Seeing as I seem like one of these terrible people in the comment section, I took to Peel's Twitter, where he made a tweet about his article. When I see that the replies are even more hurtful words there. Not even criticism of his piece. I felt bad for him. So I did what you tell us to do and tried to let my positivity be heard and wrote my thoughts on his article out. Took a screenshot and tweeted at him. My question is, how do we stop this toxic behavior in our industry and how do we combat it? I know saying positive things help, but how do we get into people's heads that things like this aren't okay? It's back to what we talked about in this show and what Imran and I talked about in the other show, right? About the phosphorus, modern warfare
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, phosphorus, too.
Is that I believe we are in such a great point right now for video games where you can sit here and have real conversations where you agree or you don't agree. You somebody's giving you their perspective and you take it in, you listen to it, and you figure out what you want to do with that, right? We all love video games. We all love very specific games, whether it be Borderlands, whether it be Modern Warfare, whether it be game X, Y, or Z. You can love a game and not like parts of it and have these conversations, right?
Yeah.
To your question here, you're already doing it, Kale, and that's you have to be the change you want to see. I talk about it all the time, right? Is that we're kind of funny. We've built this audience of best friends, which doesn't mean we're a hive mind and we all agree with each other, but it means you treat each other with respect, right? If you listen to our show and want to engage in a conversation in the right way, you're a best friend. If you listen to our show and want to be an asshole in the comments, you're a dick, and I'd prefer if you didn't watch or support us. Full stop.
Yeah.
If you, the problem and what it breaks my heart is when you see YouTube comments, Twitter comments, article comments driving away the rational people that want to have a conversation and want to disagree.
Yeah.
Want to read John's article on IGN about white phosphorus and be like, I respect your position, but don't agree with it. And here's X, Y, and Z. And I know that's such a hard thing to do. It's literally what we talk about all the time of it's negativity and hate and vitriol that inspires people to go into the comment section, it seems. Whereas in reality, and I know how tough this is and I know how busy we all are, it needs to go the other way, where you need to be the change you want to see. You need to come off the bench. You need to do what Kale's doing and read something and tweet at that person and say, hey, liked it. Hey, don't agree with you. Thank you for your position here. If nobody ever does that, then all you ever see is the bad people, and it seems like all that the internet is bad people, when we all know how wonderful the internet is. Yeah. It's given us this community. It's given you friends. It's given you podcast partners. It's given you people to play games with.
I think you nailed it, which is the...
Usually do.
Yeah, but you know, you don't actually hear it that often, but you having to work to be that voice and be a part of it and how easy it is to be scared off of doing that. I mean, I'm just not even going to get involved. But
totally.
You're reminding me, it's like, actually, you know what? If you're not doing it, nobody else is. You're already in the minority.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I would say, and I don't know if it's exactly what you're getting at, it sounded like, though, there is a bit of a responsibility that you have, hopefully, as one of these rational, respectful people, is to show up and have the conversation.
You got to lead by example. Also means, and I talk about on the show all the time, is not to engage with trolls. Mm-hmm. If somebody's out there using a slur, if somebody's out there just being an asshole, they're not trying to engage. So you mute them. You don't respond to them. You don't talk to them. You mute them, and you move away. You ignore their comment. You thumbs down their comment. You upvote somebody's comment that's nice. Not even nice. That's engaging in constructive criticism of, I don't like this because X, Y, and Z, and let's have a conversation about it.
Exactly.
If that's what you want to do. Or you say your nice thing and you bounce.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be very careful to engage in that whole back and forth escalation of arguing with trolls. Yeah, just don't do it. I never do that. And you're right. Just focus on the engaging, on-topic conversation, and you should have an opinion, and hopefully people are respectful of it. It was reminding me today that I saw some dumb tweet from somebody talking. It's the usual, somebody saying video games are dumb and, you know, everybody's fat and lazy and some motivational speaker dude. I'm like, yeah, I'm not.
Oh, I saw that last night. It's the same thing.
And I went through it. Yeah, I was like, I'm not even going to respond to this. And I was bummed, yeah, that I saw so many people retweeting and saying this guy's dumb because, and here's why games don't make you fat and stupid and lazy. And I was like, this is exactly what this person wants.
Exactly.
And it is a stupid topic, so just ignore it. Mute. You said it.
I just want attention.
I'm sure you guys have seen his floating around. A lot of people are. And I'm like, this is a dumb threat. I almost did respond. And I was like, no, why would I? It was mostly,
Sancho West had the best one.
Sancho got
last
involved.
Night there was Love the one, Sancho. Yes, of the weird guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Who's just like, video games, this whole thing about how video games suck and how they make you fat. On the 17th, right, so 3 days ago, this AEW wrestler tweeted out a photo of him in the mirror with his huge guns and says, I don't play Dungeons & Dragons, right? And it was the same thing where everybody jumped on that to fucking rail and scream. And last night, Sancho tweeted, right? So this tweet is modern-day pro wrestling. This guy is a heel, a bad guy, and he's getting cheap heat, negative reaction for this post. Because of the internet, it's harder and harder to stay true to your character. What I love is how some wrestlers have figured out social media. Then he goes on to say, it just makes me chuckle seeing the internet get worked so hard, which is when you buy into the gimmick and you go, like, right? Like, I saw this guy, didn't even click on his profile to see he was a wrestler. I was just like, whatever. Like, again, you don't need to engage. We don't need to, if it's, and like, this is a different thing of him doing a character. I don't know what this other guy was doing last night, just being a guy. Don't engage. Just ignore him. All any troll wants is for you to engage with them and be a part of it. Fuck them.
Yeah,
you have better things to do. How many goddamn games are on your phone right now?
Exactly.
Don't do that. Play Sayonara Wild Hearts. Take a chill pill. Everybody chill.
Wow,
don't kill.
Greg, what is happening today? It's Friday.
This super positive message, and at the end, I'm like, all right, now I'm enacting Order 66.
That's some wild.
Go to your kitchen and get the knife.
Yes, my lord.
Yes, my master.
Got real.
Yeah, that was a positive way to end it. Let's end it there.
I do really just want to bring up this last one where they're asking about Celeste DLC because I played it a little bit and I like it, but it's really, really, really fucking hard.
And Alex wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey there, Greg and Fran, but this one's mostly for Tim. I'd love to get your opinion on the Celeste DLC. I'm shocked to say that I really do not like it. I like to think I'm at least decent at Celeste. I beat the main game, all strawberries, all B-sides, and half of the C-sides without turning on any of the accessibility options. But this DLC starts with the difficulty dialed up to 11. I'm not sure if I'd feel the same way if this were put out earlier. But having not played the game in well over a year and starting at C-side level difficulty seems like a bad choice to me. In terms of percentage of the total Celeste fan base, I can't imagine many players will enjoy this DLC. That said, I'm sure the true best of the best will love it, and maybe that's who the target audience was. I guess not everything needs to be for me. Have you tried it yet, and what are your thoughts? Barrett, you have?
Yeah, I have only gone through like the first quarter of it, I think, and it was like all in one night, and I sat down and played it for like 3 hours.
3,000 deaths.
And yeah, like I died so many times, and it is one of those things where it's like, this is really fucking hard, and maybe a little too hard for my personal taste, but still, after I beat every single room, I'm like, fuck yeah. That was really cool. Of like, I posted up a video, I think the night that I played it, of just like the crazy stuff where like I'm doing the extra jump and then I have to like hit a spring to recharge my jump and like do all of this shit midair. And it was one of those things, it took me like 30 minutes to figure that out. And then when I did it, I was like, that was really fucking cool. Awesome. So I really like it.
The problem with DLCs, this and the Messenger, I remember, that DLC required you to have a save that you'd beaten the game and then immediately was crushing.
Yeah, and it's same with Celeste. Like you have to beat the like, epilogue chapter of Celeste to even unlock this chapter. And so it is like kind of requiring you to like relearn, like get to that skill level.
That's the problem I have. Not the problem, but like the learning curve for any DLC that comes out after the fact. Even Horizon, when Frozen Wilds dropped and I was like, all right, and jump back in, and it wasn't like we're putting you in a new area. It was just like, oh, there's something up north. It was like, oh shit, I have all this crap, and I kind of forgot how to play, and like, what am I doing? It took me a while to get back in that groove, let alone something as hard and challenging as the Messenger.
It'll probably take me like a year to beat it.
Yeah, I think it's just for those people. And Imran brought this up about Monster Hunter Iceborne, actually, on Gamescast, so listen in on that one, too. Same discussion. He was
that's a great point, actually.
It's really hard, and
why
I played 300 hours.
Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and get the goddamn Gamescast.
You could be watching it right after the,
They got the movie show. Yeah, I watched that too, you know what I mean? time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Jeff needs help on PS4. His username is Hades Council. My name's Jeff, and my PSN is Hades Council, all one word.
My name's Jeff.
My squad up request is for some company in Borderlands 3. I'm currently soloing Flack to level 24. I love my skag buddy, but could use some backup at times. I'm an over 30 gamer who can play for a few hours after 10 p.m., and as such, I can on random days off. I generally solo things, even online shooters, but can't always chat on a mic or stick around long. But I thought I'd see if any best friends out there wanted to drop into my game or whatever while I rush to the highest level I can for that sweet, sweet loot. Thanks for reading my squad up. Jeff from Arizona, PSN, Hades Council. If you want to run with arguably the best character in Borderlands 3, Flack, go on
I
over.
Mean,
I love Moe's.
I mean, Flack and Moe's are the best characters in the game from what I understand so far. So.
I just hear Zane sucks. I
love Zane,
terrible.
Zane gang, baby.
Zane gang.
Still loving it.
Time for You're Wrong. This is where people write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and tell us what we screwed up as we screw it up. Zaire says, I missed a new date. Cube World is finally coming September 30th on Steam. Missed a deal from Charles J. says, Downwell is free on Android devices next week. Zaire says, also out today, the Nintendo Switch Lite. Good call.
Oh, man.
Zaire says, new deal of the day. You can get Link's Awakening in-store at Walmart for $49.94.
Wow.
You can only get inside. And then
not outside.
Zaire says, Luigi's Mansion 3 is receiving paid DLC, which includes new content to multiplayer modes. So there you go.
I don't remember that. It is new.
Well, I think it's breaking news.
Huh.
I think it's breaking news. That's the show, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the week, if you can believe it or not. Next week is special for Games Daily. The one and only Blessing Jr. is here for his up-and-comer week. You know it, back in January for our Patreon Freedom Day or whatever you want to call it. January 5th, we had a thing. One of our thermometer goals was up-and-comer program. You already saw Chloe come through and be on Kinda Funny. Next week is Blessing Jr. on Kinda Funny Games, which means Monday, it's me and Blessing hosting Kinda Funny Games Daily. Tuesday, I have to go to L.A. and see that there, Last of Us. So it's going to be Blessing Jr. and Xavier Woods.
Oh,
that's
yes.
The show
WWE
right there.
Superstar. Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed from the best YouTube channel, Up Up Down Down Gaming.
I'm so excited to direct that.
And also Tuesday, worth pointing out, at 1 p.m., there'll be the State of Play. Live reaction here with Tim Geddes and Blessing Jr. Wednesday, Blessing Jr. and me. Thursday, Blessing and Pear Schneider from IGN.
Fuck yeah.
And then Friday, Blessing and some deadbeat named Alex Van Aken.
Wow.
I don't know who that is. Is he like an IGN janitor? Is that who we
know? No, he's the host of the OK Beast podcast. Which
no, that's
goes
Blessing
up.
Jr. Blessing Jr. is
no,
OK Beast.
Blessing is one of the like stars of OK Beast podcast.
Co-host.
But the host of the show is Alex Van Aken, and that show goes up every Monday on podcast services around the globe. It's one of the very few podcasts I actually listen to on a weekly basis.
But when I went to the PAX panel.
Huh.
Blessing ran it. Like, he did everything. He was hosting and talking and stuff.
Well, they probably wanted to make it
like a sidekick. You know, nah, it's like yeah. I want to introduce Robin as like the host of Batman's show. You know what I mean?
That's funny that you bring up Batman in the show. I feel like Alex Van Aken is Batman. Blessing is Joker.
Okay.
There you go.
Like it. I like it already. worth pointing out, of course, Thursday the 26th at 2 p.m. will be the Kinda Funny Games cast. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can watch live as me, Tim, Blessing, and Fran. Give you whatever we've been playing all week. Cool?
Yeah.
Good.
I was just thinking. I am heading to TwitchCon, and anyway.
Does that get in the way of any of this stuff?
I'll probably be there.
Probably. Well, I can bring Imran in, you know. He likes
but
it. He wakes up on time and stuff.
Yo, here we see. I knew
is this an ego thing, too? Because Blessing's here. Like, we're talking about Blessing so much. You don't want to be on the show with
I mean,
him,
you've got all these thing. Replacements for me. I haven't been on the show in, like, 3 weeks. So, ever since I missed that one show, Greg.
Well, yeah, I know, right? Dude, when
coincidence or reality?
When Imran did that tweet about, hey, I'm hosting for the first time, and you were like, the hardest part's waking up. I was like, shit, friend, that's the best thing I'm gonna play. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it all. Kinda Funny Games Daily, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. Remember, right now, the Borderlands show is finishing up on twitch.tv/borderlands. You can catch it on demand on youtube.com/borderlandsgame. Me and Fran hosting it. There's a shift key embedded, a whole bunch of different stuff. Shout out to Roger Pocorny for killing that edit.
Yeah!
Go give him some love on Twitter. Hopefully he's asleep. Ladies and gentlemen, Enjoy your weekend. Play a lot of games. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.